No matter who you are, no matter where you've been, and no matter where you are right now, you are welcome here. Welcome to Daily Audio Bible Chronological. I'm Jill, and today is the 19th day of September. Can you guys believe where we're at in this year? Crazy. Crazy how time flies when you're having fun. And I don't know if it's so much about the fun, just getting older. Getting older makes the time fly by faster. Nobody told me that. That's probably not true. I probably didn't pay attention or listen just because I wanted to get big and do the big stuff. Not enjoy being a kid. Wanted to get to an adult. And man, sometimes adulting is it's a little overrated. I want to build a treehouse in the forest. That's what I wanted to. Welcome, everyone. It's so good to be here with you. And we are winding our way through the Old Testament. We are nearing the end. Don't want to give too much away, but we are really close to nearing the end. Today, we're going to continue in the book of Ezra and read a standalone psalm today. We'll read Ezra chapters 4 through 6. And we'll read Psalm 137, and this week we are reading the Christian Standard Bible. Ezra, chapter 4. When the enemies of Judah and Benjamin heard that the returned exiles were building a temple for the Lord, the God of Israel, they approached Zerubbabel and the family heads and said to them, "Let us build with you, for we also worship your God, and have been sacrificing to him since the time King Esarhaddon of Assyria brought us here." But Zerubbabel, Jeshua, and the other heads of Israel's families answered them, "You may have no part with us in building a house for our God, since we alone will build it for the Lord, the God of Israel, as King Cyrus, the king of Persia, has commanded us." And the people who were already in the land discouraged the people of Judah and made them afraid to build. They also bribed officials to act against them to frustrate their plans throughout the reign of King Cyrus of Persia and until the reign of King Darius of Persia. At the beginning of the reign of Ahasuerus, the people who were already in the land wrote an accusation against the residents of Judah and Jerusalem. During the time of Artaxerxes of Persia, Bishlam, Mithridath, Tabeel, and the rest of his colleagues wrote to King Artaxerxes. The letter was written in Aramaic and translated. Rehum, the chief deputy, Shimshai, the scribe, and the rest of their colleagues, the judges and magistrates from Tripolis, Persia, Erech, Babylon, Susa, that is, the people of Elam, and the rest of the peoples whom the great and illustrious Ashurbanipal deported and settled in the cities of Samaria and the region west of the Euphrates River. This is the text of the letter they sent to him. To King Artaxerxes, from your servants, the men from the region west of the Euphrates River, let it be known to the king that the Jews who came from you have returned to us at Jerusalem. They are rebuilding that rebellious and evil city, finishing its walls and repairing its foundations. Let it now be known to the king that if that city is rebuilt and its walls are finished, they will not pay tribute, duty, or land tax, and the royal avenue will suffer. Since we have taken an oath of loyalty to the king, and it is not right for us to witness his dishonor, we have sent to inform the king that a search should be made in your predecessor's record books. In these record books, you will discover and verify that the city is a rebellious city, harmful to kings and provinces. There have been revolts in it since ancient times. That is why this city was destroyed. We advise the king that if this city is rebuilt and its walls are finished, you will not have any possession west of the Euphrates. The king sent a reply to his chief deputy, Rehum, Shimshai, the scribe, and the rest of their colleagues living in Samaria and elsewhere in the region west of the Euphrates River. Greetings. The letter you sent us has been translated and read in my presence. I issued a decree and a search was conducted. It was discovered that this city has had uprisings against kings since ancient times, and there have been rebellions and revolts in it. Powerful kings have also ruled over Jerusalem and exercised authority over the whole region west of the Euphrates River, and tribute, duty, and land tax were paid to them. Therefore, issue an order for these men to stop, so that this city will not be rebuilt until a further decree has been pronounced by me. See that you not neglect this matter. Otherwise, the damage will increase and the royal interests will suffer. As soon as the text of King Artaxerxes' letter was read to Rehum, Shimshai the scribe, and their colleagues, they immediately went to the Jews in Jerusalem and forcibly stopped them. Now the construction of God's house in Jerusalem had stopped and remained at a standstill until the second year of the reign of King Darius of Persia. But when the prophets Haggai and Zechariah, son of Iddo, prophesied to the Jews who were in Judah and Jerusalem in the name of the God of Israel who was over them, Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, and Jeshua, son of Jozadak, began to rebuild God's house in Jerusalem. The prophets of God were with them, helping them. At that time, Tadanei, the governor of the region west of the Euphrates River, Shethar-Bozenai, and their colleagues came to the Jews and asked, "Who gave you the order to rebuild this temple and finish this structure?" They also asked them, "What are the names of the workers who are constructing this building?" But God was watching over the Jewish elders. These men wouldn't stop them until the report was sent to Darius so that they could receive written instructions about this matter. This is the text of the letter that Tatanai, the governor of the region west of the Euphrates River, Shethar-Bozenai, and their colleagues, the officials in the region, sent to King Darius. They sent him a report written as follows. To King Darius, all greetings. Let it be known to the king that we went to the house of the great God in the province of Judah. It is being built with cut stones, and its beams are being set in the walls. This work is being done diligently and succeeding through the people's efforts. So we questioned the elders and asked, "Who gave you the order to rebuild this temple and finish this structure?" We also asked them for their names so that we could write down the names of their leaders for your information. This is the reply they gave us. "We are the servants of the God of the heavens and earth, and we are rebuilding the temple that was built many years ago, which a great king of Israel built and finished. But since our ancestors angered the God of the heavens, he handed them over to King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon, the Chaldean, who destroyed this temple and deported the people to Babylon. However, in the first year of King Cyrus of Babylon, he issued a decree to rebuild the house of God. He also took from the temple in Babylon the gold and silver articles of God's house that Nebuchadnezzar had taken from the temple in Jerusalem and carried them to the temple in Babylon. He released them from the temple in Babylon to a man named Sheshbazzar, the governor, by the appointment of King Cyrus. Cyrus told him, 'Take these articles, put them in the temple in Jerusalem, and let the house of God be rebuilt on its original site.' Then the same Sheshbazzar came and laid the foundation of God's house in Jerusalem. It has been under construction from that time until now, but it has not been completed. So if it pleases the king, let a search of the royal archives in Babylon be conducted to see if it is true that a decree was issued by King Cyrus to rebuild the house of God in Jerusalem. Let the king's decision regarding this matter be sent to us." King Darius gave the order, and they searched in the library of Babylon in the archives. But it was in the fortress of Ecbatana in the province of Media that a scroll was found with this record written on it. In the first year of King Cyrus, he issued a decree concerning the house of God in Jerusalem. Let the house be rebuilt as a place for offering sacrifices, and let its original foundations be retained. Its height is to be 90 feet, and its width 90 feet, with three layers of cut stones and one of timber. The cost is to be paid from the royal treasury. The gold and silver articles of God's house that Nebuchadnezzar took from the temple in Jerusalem and carried to Babylon must also be returned. They are to be brought to the temple in Jerusalem, where they belong, and put into the house of God. Therefore, you must stay away from that place. Tattenai, governor of the region west of the Euphrates River, Shethar-Bozenai, and your colleagues, the officials in the region, leave the construction of the house of God alone. Let the governor and elders of the Jews rebuild this house of God on its original site. I hereby issue a decree concerning what you are to do, so that the elders of the Jews can rebuild the house of God. The cost is to be paid in full to these men out of the royal revenues from the taxes of the region west of the Euphrates River, so that the work will not stop. Whatever is needed, young bulls, rams, and lambs for burnt offerings to the God of the heavens, or wheat, salt, wine, and oil, as requested by the priests in Jerusalem, let it be given to them every day without fail, so that they can offer sacrifices of pleasing aroma to the God of the heavens and pray for the life of the king and his sons. I also issue a decree concerning any man who interferes with this directive. Let a beam be torn from his house and raised up. He will be impaled on it, and his house will be made into a garbage dump because of this offense. May the God who caused his name to dwell there overthrow any king or people who dares to harm or interfere with this house of God in Jerusalem. I, Darius, have issued the decree. Let it be carried out diligently. Then Tattenai, governor of the region west of the Euphrates River, Shethar-Bozenai, and their colleagues diligently carried out what King Darius had decreed. So the Jewish elders continued successfully with the building under the prophesying of Haggai, the prophet, and Zechariah, son of Iddo. They finished the building according to the command of the God of Israel and the decrees of Cyrus, Darius, and King Artaxerxes of Persia. This house was completed on the third day of the month of Adar, in the sixth year of the reign of King Darius. Then the Israelites, including the priests, the Levites, and the rest of the exiles, celebrated the dedication of the house of God with joy. For the dedication of God's house, they offered 100 bulls, 200 rams, and 400 lambs, as well as 12 male goats as a sin offering for all Israel, one for each Israelite tribe. They also appointed the priests by their divisions and the Levites by their groups to the service of God in Jerusalem, according to what is written in the book of Moses. The exiles observed the Passover on the 14th day of the first month. All of the priests and Levites were ceremonially clean because they had purified themselves. They killed the Passover lamb for themselves, their priestly brothers, and all the exiles. The Israelites who had returned from exile ate it, together with all who had separated themselves from the uncleanness of the Gentiles of the land, in order to worship the Lord, the God of Israel. They observed the festival of unleavened bread for 7 days with joy, because the Lord had made them joyful, having changed the Assyrian king's attitude toward them, so that he supported them in the work on the house of the God of Israel. And finally today, Psalm 137. By the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down and wept, when we remembered Zion. There we hung up our lyres on the poplar trees, for our captors there asked us for songs, and our tormentors for rejoicing. Sing us one of the songs of Zion. How can we sing the Lord's song on foreign soil? If I forgot you, Jerusalem, may my right hand forget its skill. May my tongue stick to the roof of my mouth if I do not remember you, if I do not exalt Jerusalem as my greatest joy. Remember, Lord, what the Edomites said that day at Jerusalem. Destroy it. Destroy it down to its foundations. Daughter Babylon, doomed to destruction, happy is the one who pays you back what you have done to us. Happy is he who takes your little ones and dashes them against the rocks. Okay, in a nutshell, let's talk about the book of Ezra that we just completed today. The book of Ezra is the return of the Israelite people, the Jewish people that have been exiled from Babylonia to Jerusalem to rebuild the temple and to rebuild the community. If you remember what we talked about, the passage in Jeremiah, the people have been exiled for 70 years. This is when God says, "For I know the plans for you. They are they're good plans to make you prosper." Yes, that's true, but it's because they were all misplaced. They left the homes, they left the families, they left the communities that they knew, and they are now the minority in places and lands of foreign descent that they do not know the culture. It's been 70 years or so. Now they're going back to Jerusalem to rebuild the temple that was destroyed and to remember. Remember. Focus. I don't know if those are the technical meanings, but to intentionally think about the law that they have forgotten about, that they abandoned, and to also focus on God's faithfulness to the promise that he made to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, and to also focus on worship and obedience to God. They have turned their back for so long. It's time to come back, remember, to think about again, and to hold on to that so you don't forget again. This excites me to read this right now. And here's why. I have heard revival, the word revival, my entire life. Praying for revival. We're praying for revival to break out, that people will come to know. And the word revival is often used in a way of God doing something that we've all witnessed and experienced in our lives, and we want God to come and do that same thing, the same thing as we experienced it. God is always doing what it is that he wants to do in the way that he wants to do it. We have journeyed with the children of Israel this entire year. 9 months into the year, we have journeyed most of these months with the children of Israel. We have watched them turn away from God to do their own thing, no trust. We have seen them still practice the rituals, still go through the motions, still look the part, but their dependency, their trust is completely in themselves or other gods. And as we have read the Bible this year, we understand that if it is not God's word, it is not the truth. But it's not a scripture picked out of context, used as the truth. It is the truth in the context of the story that took place in its fullness. I just said this, but the Bible is a two-edged sword, both ways, top and bottom. It doesn't slice somebody and leave the other person standing there going, "I got this all together." It is for all of us, everyone, all of it, in its context, as we see ourselves mirrored in the word. Why am I excited? I am excited because I see a return. I see a vast return of people knowing God's word in context and having a relationship with God through his word. It's not a cherry-picked Sunday sermon used for personal platform and personal opinion. It is the truth. It is the fullness. It is knowing God through His Word, who is all truth. This is the return of generations. And because I love this community so much, and because I have witnessed this personally, let me say this in love to all of us. If your children have walked away from the faith that you taught them, if they are experiencing their own beliefs and they differ from yours, do not be discouraged. Do not shut them out. Their faith is becoming their own, and we can differ. We do not all agree on everything, but they are coming into the fullness of their own relationship with God. Nobody can have a relationship with God for anyone. Otherwise, it's just handed down rituals. Personal relationship is personal. It's intimate. It's person to person. And I get it. Sometimes we walk away from everything we once knew. We think we're walking away from God, but we are abandoning religion to find God sometimes. That has to be okay. This is knowing and being known. Maybe we redirect our prayers to God, change them, to God, change me. Do what it is that you long to do and say to me, in me, through me. We don't need them to know our religion. We want them to know God. Jesus, thank you for your word. Thank you for this return, that we can come back to you after we repent, that you grant us your grace and your mercy. Thank you, God, that you do not turn your back and walk away on us, even when we have been abandoned, when people have turned their back on us and walked away. You are ever present, and all things hidden in the dark you bring to light, because you are all truth. Thank you. We thank you, God. It's painful. It's painful for things that were hidden to be brought to the light. It's difficult. We don't like to be exposed, but only the light can expose the darkness. And you sent your Son, the light of the world, and we are to be the light that lights up this dark and dreary world. There's enough of us that we can do that when we are walking in the truth, the light, the truth of the light. Thank you for welcoming us back, to restore us, to redeem us, to renew us, to transform us, for the old to be gone, but the new to come again, and to live, to rise up and to live. We thank you and we praise you. I pray this all in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Hello. I've been waiting for you. I didn't know if you recognize my voice, 'cause I've been whispering your name again and again. Without you here.